Hello. Welcome back to Taboo, everybody. We're back for a second season. First one went very quick, did 12 episodes, and I'm sure you've watched them all. I am back as your host, and today we are joined by Sam Morris from Tab.
Hello. Do I introduce myself at this bit?
Yes, you do.
As Katrina said, I'm Sam Morris from Tab, lending associate, so part of the sales team, focusing on business development and origination.
And our special guest today is Adam Kirby from JPEZ Partners.
Thank you, Katrina. Nice to be here.
Welcome. You are our first special guest from the new season.
Excellent. I feel very special.
You should. So it's the same process as last season, where we've got the top five questions that people have been asking. And we'll kick things off with, what is Evaluate Locate?
It's a data-driven index, so don't tune out too quickly. but it tells you everything you need to know about a location in the UK. Is it going forwards? Is it going backwards? And what kind of place is it?
And what would you say it's especially for? So is it for the property market? Is it for everything?
I suppose if you are an investor or a lender, perhaps, or if you're if you've already got a portfolio of properties you own or you're interested in, or sites you're interested in, kinds of places that have worked for you in the past, or maybe you're in the middle of a deal and you just need a bit of an information advantage on what's happening in the location around a property right now.
So I'm jumping straight in with my
feelings. Go on, Sam.
This is a product that the company you work for offer amongst other products.
Yeah, well, we work with some massive investment firms, property firms, and so on the financial side and on the pure property side as well. And we do marketing consulting. But what we've developed over the last 2-3 years to help this conversation around location in the UK is Evaluate Locate. So it's a sort of a product that goes alongside sort of the service that we offer clients. Yeah.
Got it. And the information that you guys are using, where's it drawn from? Because presumably, it's going to be from all kinds of places.
Yeah, it is all from all kinds of sources. Yeah. So I think the thing is that a lot of people ask that question first of all. You can talk about what you'd use it for.
Yeah.
It all comes from completely solid, pre-verified sources, not some kind of survey. Like, people talk about data and research sometimes and they've done some 8 out of 10 CAT survey. That can be really helpful, but it's not what we do. We look at sort of hard data from the likes of, you know, companies, House and ONS and stuff. But we're looking at the model outputs 96 different metrics, and that's for 2,800 postal district. So we're in NW7, right? So, yeah. So
we're
giving
away the secret.
You're giving away secret. Duncan, sorry, everyone be swarming photographs for you two on the way out. Yeah, but we're in NW7 in London. Surprise. And so that's one of 2,816 locations on the first half of the postcode in the UK that we cover. 96 outputs. Where does it all come from? Well, originally it's all public sources. But if you're looking at, say, the number of finance companies, property companies in NW7, you could go away and find that out. Or you could have software that gives it to you at your fingertips right now.
That's very interesting. We might need to use this.
Well, yeah, that's a commercial conversation we'll do off air.
Yes.
But it's obviously been a lot of work to do that. And what we want to do is do the kind of work that you could kind of go and pay a consultant to do, but in a really easily repeatable sort of software style way, so that you'd have something you could press a button and get a report from.
And how is it kind of visualized? Is it on a platform you log in?
Yeah, well, sort of the beta version of this is we're going to have like an interactive, and it's just quite fun to have a map and sort of fly around the map. And it's almost like a game. You could really get into it. You click on a location, it will tell you whether that bit is, you know, what's happening in NW7 in January 2020. So we have that, and that's sort of like our internal version for now. We will be rolling that out. And we've also already got, we've got like single location reports, multiple location reports. So you say, okay, tell me about NW7 or, I don't know, CF3 or wherever it might be. And this is the whole UK, by the way. So we do Scotland, Wales, Northern Ireland. So you can pick your location and you'll get a page of A4 type report that will tell you index rating compared to the rest of the country, how that's changing, which is quite important, and then all the different metrics beneath that. But we're looking at different ways you can, you know, visualize it, compare things, and you know, people want to know, is something more or less than the average as well? It's got to be benchmarked.
This is really fascinating. There are other softwares and products on the market that offer not necessarily exactly this, because this sounds far more in-depth and the data that you've got is, as you say, drawn from all kinds of different solid sources. Yeah. But in terms of using the software, is there sort of an ordnance survey thrown over a map where you can select individual titles and pull the information on specific sites, for example?
Well, we haven't looked. It's a good, actually, a couple of questions there. So we haven't looked to try and replicate property data, right? Because there are lots of companies that do that. We're looking at basically everything outside the title, the red line on the map if you're doing a conveyancing.
Yeah.
But that's really super important. If you've got, it could be a shopping center or it could be a studio flat. But if you've got a property, an asset, something you're investing in, and by the way, it might be some other kind of infrastructure instead of a property. It's sitting in a location, so the tenants, everything. The whole environment's going to affect your return or someone's return. You might sell it to you. If you're not a long-term investor, it'll be your buyer's returns. So you want to be able to tell that story about the place you're investing in. Yeah. So, sorry, that was your first question. There's so many questions here. Sorry, Katrine. But yeah, so first question is compared to other data. Yeah, we're not trying to replicate, say, data on, rents and yields and stuff like that.
Yeah.
That's a lot of data sources we could look at.
Yeah, yeah.
We're looking at the things that might be kind of upstream from that. And your second, there were two questions in there somehow, at least, wasn't there, Katrine? What was the other one?
Trying to understand if we, for example, were to use that software, what would we see on screen in front of us?
Exactly. So a map is the obvious solution.
Yeah.
So you can have, we developed a thing where it's like a traffic light. So green, amber, red. Red is bad and green is sort of good. And obviously on the index, you'd expect sort of London Southeast to come up generally greener. But then when you drill down, because you can go down to postcode level, it's more complicated than that. And then you go to places outside the obvious prosperous places, you get some green as well. If you look at the Northwest, South Manchester, sort of footballer land comes up, better than some parts of other parts of sort of like, Manchester, Liverpool, Merseyside. So it's you get surprising results, and that's a really interesting part too. And a map, that's the cool thing.
That's what I wanted to know. Yeah. A map.
Katrine, what's your next question?
Well, I'm going to go on to the next question of today, which kind of is more around the property investment side of things and generally what is locational analysis?
Yeah.
And, let's think of kind of why would property developers use this? Why would investors use it?
If you're buying a property, you're buying an asset you could sell at some point. You're maybe buying an income, right? Now, ultimately, the sale price probably is going to be loosely connected to the income. And where's the income coming from? A tenant of some sort, usually. So if you're buying an office, you want to know how many businesses are in that location. Now, it might not be that every business that's local there is going to be your tenant. But if the business population in that town or that postcode is shrinking, you maybe want to know that. Or if it's really, really soaring in the next town down the road or the next postcode around London, maybe you're looking at NW8 instead of NW7. And there'd be subtle differences. So basically, I think for a long time, and talking to colleagues, when we started developing this, we realized that for a long time, people have spent, millions and billions, really, across the industry, investing in understanding within that title deed, what's going on to the property. People will spend thousands on reports to work out whether there's damp in the wall over there. But they won't look just beyond the wall to realize that the high street's emptying out. So there's some companies that go around and sort of pay people to walk up and down the high street. That's one way of doing it. And what we've decided is to look at a slightly broader frame of reference than that. If you really zoomed in on that map that Sam mentioned, then probably the most sensible pixel sort of size would be about a postcode district. Because you're looking at maybe a few square kilometres. You're not looking just at that street. And you're not looking at, say, the whole of the east of England. But you're looking at that postal district. And that's a nice kind of geography because that's sort of like your little catchment area. And so I think there's an industry trend that people are more interested in alternative kind of sources of insight because so much investment has gone into that. Oh, is it 5% yield, 4% yield, 8% yield? But very little has gone into, is it an 8% yield because it's going to disappear or is it an 8% yield because it's a really good deal? And understanding the location gives you some insight into that.
The emphasis on the word location.
Yeah.
You were
I
saying,
keep mentioning,
but that is the point of the software. It's sunk in now that, as you said, people will spend thousands of pounds getting reports and surveys and damp reports and whatnot, understanding the property. But it always goes back to those three really important words,
yeah,
which everyone seems to talk about no matter the deal, and it's location.
Yeah, and location reports. I mean, we work with some sort of institutional investors in property, you know, people doing like build to rent investments and stuff like that. And, you know, they'll be putting pension scheme money in. And then somebody will present to like a really big investment committee, like a report, and it says, oh yeah, we've looked at every, you know, every inch of the walls and checked for damp, and we've done this and we've done that. We looked at the title deeds back to 1408 or something. And then, oh, okay, what's happening outside that property? You know, and then it'll be basically Wikipedia. You know, it will be like, you know, Mill Hill is a place in giving away. Yeah. You know? And it will just be like, you know, there's a high street, great, you know, yeah. it's famous for this or that. So so we try to add some science to that, and I think it's a really important dimension for making more money out of property investments and doing a better job economically, like allocating that cash to, you know, make everyone better off.
Cool. Good answer.
Sorry, too long. Probably cut me down.
I like the level of detail. And, I don't know. Maybe I'm picking it up slower. Maybe it's just me.
No. That, it sounds
that,
useful.
That answer and that description is definitely what just helped me fully understand exactly how even Tab as a business would be able to utilize this software and this product, because where we're so focused on our security as a lender, there is a bigger picture, and it's what else is going on in that area, in that postcode.
It's a great way of putting it, actually, because if you have an interest in a property, it could be because you're a lender, it could be because you've got like an equity interest, you own a bit of the property or share in it, or it could be because you're thinking you might buy it as well. So if you're looking at, say you want to look at the Northwest, and you decide you're going to look at the Northwest because, I don't know, rental yields look good or some property data tells you that, and you'd say, okay, well, am I going to look at this postcode? You know, am I going to look at M3 or am I going to look at M5? Now, you might not even... The other thing about property data is it's patchy and there's not much flows, right? So you'd actually... If you could get a little bit of an advantage, or you could get some information that might actually tell you should pay less for the property at the beginning, that'll make you yield better. So you can find places that are up and coming and where your money will go further as an investor. That's the idea.
Well, leads on to my third question, which is how does location affect property? What I want to know is kind of... the detail of what you're looking for to give it a red mark over a green mark.
Yeah, well, I suppose a good way of answering that question is to sort of look at what goes into our top secret formula. Right? So without giving it all away.
In our top secret location.
Top secret formula, top secret location. Well, I suppose it's going to be actually a good point. It's not going to be the same for everyone. So if you're looking at one type of property, it might be different from another. Like if you're investing in warehouses, you're not necessarily going to look for a super dense location in the middle of a town with loads of, say, tech companies. You're going to look somewhere maybe near that, I don't know, but you're going to have differences. So one answer is what worked for you in the past. And if we've got 96 different economic metrics and sort of in this, you know, without getting too mathsy, like 96 dimensional space, you can say, well, we've got a cluster of five that worked for us in the past. I'll say, well, you know, you had, I don't know, NW7 and P6 and CF5. Actually, they're close together in these attributes. And you might not have known that because you're not thinking in that space. And then you say, well, have you thought about Y05? And sometimes the model spits stuff out and you think that doesn't make any sense. And then you look at it and you think, So you can sort of get just to learn based on what's worked for you in the past. And that's sort of like the, you know, quite a, you could get into all the complexities of that report, but you have to sort of, it's a bit like your Amazon recommendations. Like if you liked this, you might like that. And a locational version of that is super useful. So that's one thing we're working on, because obviously people would find that helpful. But for the overall metric, the index that we create, that just tells you is a place going forwards or backwards, that's super helpful too. And that has four key pillars. How many people are there? Like the density, population density, and is that growing or shrinking? Quite important. You might want to know that. Business density, same kind of thing. Are there more, fewer businesses? Jobs market. Are people earning more or less than they were a year ago there? And you know, how much do they earn? And that's the people who have a job. So what if, you know, but unemployment, generally the labour market. And that's been quite dynamic the last couple of years, obviously. And then the final dimensions of what we've got. I can't forget. So you've got population.
This is the problem when it does so much.
Well, it does so much, yeah. So
it's smarter than us. That's the problem.
It's smarter than me on a Tuesday afternoon. But no, it has it. So population, jobs, business density, And sort of those are the, some of the key pillars there. And residential pricing, of course, that goes into a little bit as well. So that is sort of a property metric, but we're looking at the average residential price around it. And if I told you somewhere had an average residential price of $500,000 or 50,000, you'd have a sense that the kind of place it is. Mm-hmm. So, yeah, so those four key pillars are what goes into our index. But as I say, you could spend, you know, you could spend a while looking at what works for a particular investment strategy.
My fourth question, what other factors can impact property value?
I'm going to give away our location again. So imagine there was a Gale's Bakery just outside, right? And suddenly you saw that in that location, unemployment was soaring. Well, you know, for an upmarket bakery chain, and say they had three stores in that one postcode area, it might not be good news. Or maybe, you know, earnings, but maybe earnings were going up. On their own, that might be confusing, but maybe earnings are going up because, unfortunately, this is what happened in the pandemic in a lot of places. People who earn less lost their jobs. So you need all the different metrics sometimes. But the labour market and, you know, how much the average local person has to spend is quite important if you're looking at retail. Or if resi price is going backwards. Like if the average price of a home in that area is falling by 10% a year, especially recently when across the country is going up by, you know, 10, 20, you'd want to know about that. Yeah, I think some of the key things that are going to affect, like, out of our sort of like long menu, you know, a la carte of economic stats, right? You're going to want to know about, depending on the kind of investor you are, you're going to want to know about residential pricing, unemployment, business density, mm-hmm. Population. Kind of the ones I meant to say. Yeah. You know, the reason we put them into the EVI, we call it the Evaluate Locate Vitality Index, or just the Economic Vitality Index. Now that we've set that up so that it tends to kind of follow the same pattern as GDP for the whole UK. We can tell you about NW7. So that's probably the headline. But as I say, it depends on your, like, in your, on your, on the kind of property you're looking at. And obviously then that kind of, it's not a separate thing, right? So you could say, is it inside, outside the property boundaries? Is it the location, location, location? Yeah. Or is it your tenant? Or is it your, I don't know, your financial structure? But I suppose the way I answer that is, they're kind of different ways of measuring it. But if your location's going backwards, everything else is probably going to start going backwards at some point. So you'd rather have a heads up.
And this software is everything in one place so that you don't have to keep thinking, could it be this, could it be this, could it be
this?
It's doing the work for you. Yeah. It's a second brain to pull all the different metrics and data and bits of information together.
And it's up to date, yeah. So that's the other thing. What we've done enormous amount, you know, I used to look a bit younger, you know. We've done an enormous amount of work looking at doing it in a timely way. So we can give you numbers for January 2022. And first of the series, yeah. So we can say right now, this is what it is. And this is what it was 10 years ago, 12 years ago. It goes back to January 2010. So you can look at, like, you can chart that location over time. But we've done all of that and done all that work to bring it together in one place right now. So, yeah, as you say, you don't have to go, right, well, I saw this there and I saw that there. And so, and you get some office junior to go away and do something. And then by the time you get the report back at the end of the week, you probably tipped over into the new month or, you know, maybe you've got some, if it is like an active deal kind of situation, things have changed and other things as well.
I'm going to presume that the use of this product as well is going to be far cheaper than hiring an office junior.
Yeah. Well, you know, when someone walks in and say, the classic example of, you know, I don't know how, what weird analogy I'm going to use here, but, like, you know, if you wanted to drive to Manchester, well, you could go away and you could, you know, find some wheels and you could, you know, or you could, you know, I could sell you a car or a train ticket or something, you know, or, like, you know, it's sort of like, how useful is a pencil to you versus a bit of tree and some, you know, some rock and a, you know, or rubber and something, you know. Yeah. So I think, you know, it's this sort of argument that if you have someone who's already made the machine, you can sort of turn the handle. That's super valuable. Obviously, we have to charge for that because it's been a big investment.
Yeah,
but it works out cheaper than sending off, like, a team of three or four consultants. And they'd have to be people who understood the stats to go and do that.
So, to answer a question I might have had earlier of can I do it myself, I would probably unlikely.
Well, the answer is maybe. I think, you know, to be polite to anyone, I'm sure, of course you could. And people do. And this is what's been going on for a long time. But can you do it yourself quickly, repeatably and comparably consistently. That's the other thing. So for all the stats in the model that we have, we compare it to the whole UK. So every single time you're getting that report, you're not just getting a report on NW7 or CF3 or whatever place you're interested in. You're getting a report effectively that's already got all the work of the whole country, those 2816. Mm-hmm. So you'd say, so for example, actually, before I came here, I looked and you can compare it to the rest of the country. So all that work's done as well. So for example, I think NW7 unemployment is kind of okay. Earnings are well above average. We're in North London here. Can't remember the exact mix of businesses, but I knew that there were more property and finance businesses than average. So it makes sense, yeah. What else do I I just ran the report this morning, you know, because I thought, okay, well, that's practical, isn't it?
Yeah.
You know, so I think that makes sense. And obviously, being in London here, we're in Greater London, resi prices are way above average, you know, so you're talking, you know, high towards a million on average versus the, you know, 260 something thousand for the whole UK. So if you knew nothing about NW7, you'd have a sense of it before you got there. So sometimes the competitor is, you know, driving there and having a look at it. Mm. But we're comparing it every single time you run a report with the whole country. Mm. So you could do it yourself for NW7. Could you do it for everywhere else at the same time, consistent, comparable, up to date, and then compare it? That would be super hard. So. Yeah. That's why we do it software as well.
Question number 5 is, which parts of the country have been most resilient?
Yeah, well, we looked at this specifically since pandemic and lockdown, and we did a look at this at the end of 21 last year. Mm-hmm. And the answer was Wales, strangely, if you look at the nations of the UK. And then we sort of thought, well, let's ask the model about towns, and it was St Helens in Northwest. So Wales, funnily enough, it's not Cardiff and it's not Swansea. I kept mentioning CF. But it's not those locations. It's like the kind of periphery, it's the end parts of Wales. And I think that's because of a bit of home working, a bit of sort of tourism. People aren't going abroad, so they're going to Pembrokeshire, Northwest Wales, Snowdonia. I did see some article on BBC that like Mount Snowdon was like dangerously busy with people like, you know, queuing up the mountain. And that makes sense. And then we see a big green patch in terms of that's going forwards and sort of like the western edge of Wales. So tourism, sort of domestic, has sort of boomed. That hasn't helped every sort of coastal town in the UK, so it's interesting. So Wales has done pretty well. Wales has had a bit of a house price boom as well in the last sort of year and a half. And maybe that's a bit of home working. Maybe it's other things. But you can really track that. And then when you look in terms of, okay, tell me about towns, not far away from that North Wales, but it was St Helens in North West. Done really well. And we thought, well, why is that? And it's home to Pilkington Glass, weirdly enough. So it's where most of the UK's glass comes from. So, you know, all she got. But also, as well as that, it's of industrial past, they're investing in hotels and residential properties.
Glass hotels.
Maybe. Yeah, maybe it's sort of like a sort of super clever kind of scheme. But so as a local area, they've had this sort of 5-10 year old investment sort of strategy in their area. And it's really interesting because it really picked up in the stats. Now, earnings there, people who work there, really picking up. People who already live there, not quite so much yet, but it's starting to go in the right direction. Unemployment's middle, but coming down. House prices are really picking up. And business density's growing. And you think, okay, this is a story of a town that's sort of up and coming. And we can measure that like objectively. Yeah. Since the pandemic, that's the best performing town in the UK. So yeah, St Helens. Throw your money at St Helens. So it's partly driven by property and property investment and property metrics. But I could give you a list of other places which have tried to, you know, had a big hotel boom or whatever, and that hasn't happened. So it's interesting that there's sort of like direction of travel. Is it the economics that drives the property investment or vice versa? A bit of both. And it basically just needs to work. We can tell you where that's happening.
And presumably the data has changed quite significantly pre and post pandemic.
Yeah, exactly. Yeah. So, yeah, so as I say, we've got like a traffic light system for the whole country. So you can say, well, you know, the middle of London's more prosperous than the middle of nowhere in, I don't know, the Pennines. Makes sense. So some of the greens and reds, sort of intuitive, although there's some surprises. Then when you start looking at like the yearly trend of that and you map that green to it, it gets really interesting. Which is where the momentum is. And then we did it, so as I say, we did green to red for since March 2020. Actually the middle of a lot of towns has really struggled. I mean, if you look at central London, it really just lit up red during the pandemic. Because, it makes sense. There was no one walking around the shops. There's no one on Oxford Street. Yeah. Now, that sort of picked that trend up quite quickly. Now, if you start looking at official stats, even some of our own data sources, you just don't get that because you're waiting 18 months for the official version. So that's why the kind of the clever stats and, you know, machine learning stuff in the model is super important. We've sort of tested the responsiveness of it there. So, yeah, where's doing well? Not the middle of cities, but actually London's a great example where, because it's just big, you can see a little sort of like a ring of the sort of commuter belt, which did do reasonably well.
Were there any particular results that came up that you were really surprised by?
Yeah, as I say, St. Helens was a bit of a surprise. That was at the top. I wouldn't have thought, okay, right, yeah, definitely St. Helens. We're expecting that to be, oh, look, there it is. You know, that's not. And Wales, I suppose, if we're looking at resilience, yeah, it sort of made sense. And then we started to look at the, so you say Wales, and as I say, then we drilled down to the which actual postcodes are driving that for Wales. It's sort, you could start to tell a story. So those two examples, really, they were surprises. If you look at Glasgow is an interesting example. Glasgow's got some real mixture of neighbourhoods down to really like street by street level. In the centre of Glasgow, bright green since pandemic, but then just practically a few postcodes away, like the eastern end of Glasgow and south side of Glasgow, not looking so great. Some posh roads in south side of Glasgow, there's also some real deprivation. So that's why, that was a great example of why you have to have all the different ingredients, otherwise you haven't got your cake of your economic vitality index. Like, you can have more businesses, but if unemployment's still soaring, that area's still got some troubles. And what's going on just next door? So, by the way, I talked about like a single location report.
Yeah.
But you could also then sort of dial up the catchment area because that might be more important.
Is there a way that kind of governments or councils or whatever could use this as a place to kind of figure out where best to place their investment and improve areas?
I think, well, this is obviously linked to levelling up and stuff. Yeah. We've talked to investors about that. And I think if the government's looking to level places up, then, well, the government have their own stats and objective stats about that. And they've probably got other sort of, you know, quite rightly, maybe like social things that they want to level up, not just to the economy, but that's going to be a large part of it. You know, we've worked with one company that has a network of ports in the UK, and that's a big part of the government agenda. Mm-hmm. And while they can talk to the government about the specifics of that, if they're looking to sort of be part of that story that those town, port cities are going to tell, then them in conjunction with local councils or whatever, it really helps them to have these stats. So we've got a few clients that are sort of doing a little bit of that, sort of the economic side, the levelling up agenda. I think if you're an investor and you're thinking private sector about this, you know, some people have said to me, well, why do you want to make an index of this? Isn't all the money just going to flow to where all the money already is? Are you not just going to encourage that? And I say, no. Actually, if you're an investor, a bit like if you want, like maybe you would look at the Northwest because yields are better. If you want somewhere that's going, sort of going to be up and coming, but objectively up and coming, then this could be your bargain spotter, right? You know, so you don't really want to go where the obvious bright green patches are. You're not going to invest in, I don't know, Notting Hill. You know, maybe you would have invested in Notting Hill 30 years ago when it was, you know, not quite Notting Hill today. So you, because we've got all the back data to 2010, you can say, tell me a list of places that look like this list of places 5 years ago or 10 years ago. And you can start to look for the bargains. So there's a kind of like there's a really practical levelling up, sort of doing your bit for levelling up, but also spotting a bargain as an investor and sort of trying to be part of that that agenda, but, you know, in a profitable way, hopefully. Yeah.
Well, we've touched on, more than just touched on it, we've gone into who could be using this product and software. You mentioned the government. We also mentioned investors and even TAB as a lender and other lenders.
We'll chat about that after.
Exactly.
Yeah.
Because it's a highly, highly useful source of information and it throws it all together to give you a concise report. I'm curious to know, how did you guys come up with the idea? And was it because you thought, I need all this information and I don't have it in one place? Or was there a moment that you suddenly thought, this could really work?
Well, I think the moment was, if there was a moment, is when I was talking to my colleague Duncan, and he used to be deputy editor of States Gazette. You know, he, I get his 80s drug title right, or he'll come and kill me when we look at this. I think that was it. But, you know, but he's been a journalist in that industry. He's talked to, and we work with property firms and, as I say, investment firms who are looking to put, you know, pensions money and stuff into this. And we looked at these investment reports, and they're really, really solid. Like, all the maths you could want, all the numbers, all the accounting, fantastic. Detail, detail, detail. And then it was probably that moment that inspired it, where we were having some meeting about, you know, presenting investment opportunities and sort of marketing of a portfolio. And it was like, well, this is a portfolio that's basically a load of X's on a map. And you haven't told me anything very intelligent about all those places. It's literally, if I went on Wikipedia, probably more up to date. Because at least Wikipedia is crowdsourced, right? So it's going to be like, if something happened that weekend, you're going to have a lot. So that was one of the sort of moments where we thought, you know, for a long time, we'd both sort of different experiences thought about this problem. And then me being a nerd, I was like, well, Duncan, we could get some data for this, you know, and he was like, okay, right. And I think that, you know, I've talked about evaluate, locate 1.0, 2.0, but really it's kind of a 9.0 because I've been looking at what data is available, as I say, for, you know, a number of years. And I think basically the stories we built up bit by bit. But what we described as, if you've seen it recently, the Moneyball moment, right? Duncan sort of said this is when we got down to one number, because you can look at this, you can look at that, and you can say, oh, but we have a conversation, say, oh, well, let's talk about NW7s, oh, well, this, you know, and you could just have a debate, and it's pointless, and you'd focus on, say, unemployment, and I'd focus on residential pricing. You're just wasting everyone's time. Like, how do you balance those things? It's when we got it down to the index, that was the kind of like the moment where we thought, right, so we can tell you about a place, is it going forwards, is it going backwards? Mm-hmm. As I say, we didn't have it at that point, but we realised we'd be able to map that onto, mm-hmm. onto the UK sort of traffic light system. And suddenly, you can see that happen. And then when you make a video, obviously it's not the ideal format for videos and diagrams for podcasts, but if you make a video, you can see like these waves of prosperity, you know, moving back and forth around the UK. And obviously that's super cool, but it's also super practical. So there's a few moments where we realised there's a gap, whereas it was possible. Mm. We got it down to one number. And then I think when you do the visualizations, and that's only really the last 6 months, a year, we've really got on top of that. Suddenly, this stuff that was in my head, you can actually see it, and that's a really satisfying moment. Yeah.
Wow.
Cool. That's really, really interesting.
Yeah. So, I mean, so, you know, obviously, it feels like a bit of a curiosity project, and it has been for a while, and a bit of a passion project for me. But I think, you know, if you're bonkers enough to have put all that effort into it, you create something quite unique, and that's what we've got now. And I think there is a real practical use. So, if you're a lender, if you're a investor, or if you're a developer, you know, if you want to, if you've got any, or even if it's just anyone who's interested in, you know, practically interested, should I invest here or here or here, this town or that town, then it's really helpful. Or if you've got investors from overseas, they don't know the difference between, you know, Sheffield and Slough, you know, like most people here don't, you know, most people in Sheffield or Slough don't, to be fair. So I think if you've got investors from just other parts of the UK or internationally, super helpful to be able to give them a report and say, this is Sheffield.
Mm-hmm. Cool. Any more questions?
Nothing from me. This is my opportunity to learn about everything that you guys are doing. Yeah. I came in here not knowing a single thing. And now I feel I've got a really clear image as to everything that your software does, what it can offer. And I'll say it again, how I think we could use it as well.
Oh, super interesting.
There you go.
Yeah, there you go.
That is the purpose of TabU.
Yeah.
So
well,
I'm glad I can help at least one person and all of you.
Yeah. Well, thanks for having me on.
It's been really interesting. Thanks, Adam. Yeah. Thanks, Sam. And before we go, where can we find you?
Well, if you look online for Evaluate Locate, then it should come up, or search for JPES Partners. But maybe we put a link in the description.
I will put it in the show notes.
Some sort of commercial plug somewhere would be really helpful.
Thanks again.
Yeah.
No, you're welcome.
Thank you.
Thanks, everyone, for listening. Don't forget to like, subscribe and share. And I will see you next time. That's been TabU. Bye.